So today's message on the 24th of November 24 is entitled Disobedience, if I've spelt it right. I think I have. It's not a very nice word to listen to, is the word disobedience. It's kind of a threatening kind of word, I think. But anyway, I'm going to read to you from Romans 5, 1 to 19, which is quite a long piece of scripture, but try and tune in. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned, for before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as Adam did, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. Long, convoluted message, but the bottom line is, just as through the disobedience of the one man, Adam, many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, Jesus Christ, many will be made righteous. Remember that. Okay, I don't know why it is, but I find it very difficult to do what I'm told to do. It's okay if I agree with what I'm being told to do, or perhaps if I'm asked nicely, but if I disagree, I sometimes become like a stubborn mule or a donkey. Don't tell me what to do. Do you recognise that character? I know people won't even have a female voice on their sat-nav because of that problem. Usually men. When I was a young boy, I was more often than not getting myself into trouble. I was your traditional naughty boy. If it wasn't trespassing, stealing, doing what I was told not to do, or failing to do what I was supposed to do, whatever it was, if I thought that I could get away with it and I really wanted some adventure and fun, I'd take the risk and use my evasive abilities to avoid getting caught. Often I thought I'd got away with it, but I remember several incidents when I didn't, and I got a thick ear and a smack. There was my Yorkshire accent coming out there, a thick ear. Sometimes a smack from my dad and sometimes a smack from a teacher. In the good old days, when you got to understand authority and discipline. Looking back on one or two incidents, I realised that often it was just boredom that led me to seek thrills and adventure. I lived on a large country estate. I was the only single boy of that age on that estate for miles. And I had no one to play with. That meant that I could go anywhere and more often than not do anything without, I thought, being seen. What does a young boy of 10 years old and below do on his own on a large country estate? A bit like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. What do? This included things like secretly making a raft to sail across the large country estate lake before I could even swim, climbing nearly every tree and building that looked interesting, entering some that were locked, getting in through the skylights, making hay dens, getting lost until midnight, parents calling out the police, we've lost our child, brother and sister going out to look at the river to see if I'd drowned. And these are Bobby Brown stories, these. Throwing stones at things that would smash, making fires, melting lead in old paint pots over a fire, burning asbestos sheets because they explode and make a loud bang, climbing towers, water towers that would have been fatal to fall from. You know, the devil really went out of his way to find work for my idle hands. I was a great understudy for him. One or two things I vividly remember from those days. My dad caught me being destructive. I didn't think I was being destructive. There were some panels that had glass in them, which were used on Dutch frames, you know, when you're gardening. And some of them were broken. So me and my wellies smashed out the ones that were broken, thinking, well, they're not going to be repaired, so I might as well smash them out with my wellies on, so I didn't get hurt, you know. And my dad heard me doing that. And I heard him shouting because he didn't know I was smashing out the broken ones. So I ran, but he was fast. And he caught up with me, and I remember that slap on the backside and leg to this day. I learnt a lot about discipline from that. And yet, on the other hand, it wasn't always like that. Because one day, I used to burn, because I was what they call a pyromaniac. I used to set fire to anything that would burn, right? And around the bottom of these hedges, which was around this tennis court, the grass had died around the bottom of a yew hedge, which is evergreen, and I had matches, and I was burning the dead grass, thinking, oh, this burns ever so well, thinking, oh, it won't get near to the hedge. I kept beating it off, and eventually it caught the hedge. Have you ever heard yew bushes burn? Crackle, 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 crackle. And it started at one end, and it started, the fire crept along the hedge. You could see it going, you know, like 6 inches at a time. And I would be less than 10 years old at that time. And I ran in screaming into the house, realizing the whole lot round a tennis court's going to go. Anyway, my dad came out, buckets of water, got the gardeners from the estate in, and they put it out. Within the space of about, 6 metres, it was all out. And they said, don't worry, it'll grow back. I thought, really? Am I not going to get spanked and disciplined for this? This was all around Lord and Lady Scarborough's tennis court, by the way. He didn't really punish me, because he realised that I'd already suffered enough. And I understood what I'd done wrong. And he said, don't burn grass that close to a hedge. Proverbs 1:7-8. I used to fear my dad sometimes, but it says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Going back to the Bobby Brown stories, naughty boy. Another thing I remember was an incident at secondary school where I was supposed to be growing up into a responsible young adult. I was probably about 14 years old at the time, maybe 13, I can't quite remember, and very much still a country boy, understandably. There was a horse chestnut tree in the grounds of the school, and one year it had a massive crop of big conkers, but they were all very high up. Although the tree was too difficult to climb, it was possible to throw sticks up to knock the conkers down. Being a country boy, I couldn't see a problem with that, even though we'd been told in assembly, don't throw sticks into the conker tree, somebody will get hurt. The problem was, I wanted the conkers more than I wanted to obey what I thought wasn't a very important school rule. And what's more, I thought I'd get away with it. The result? Prefect told me to report to the deputy headmaster's office, which I then realised, although it was quite a way away, had a window that overlooked that tree. Hebrews 4:13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. I was beginning to get the idea that sometimes people see what you're doing. I realised that I was in trouble. The deputy head had form for disciplining harshly. I'd rather have seen the headmaster, but the deputy head was a bit of a bully. So when the deputy head asked me if I knew there was a rule against throwing sticks into that tree, I was about to learn how serious he thought that rule was. No, it wasn't detention. It wasn't writing hundreds of lines of, I must not throw sticks into the conker tree, or any present day socially acceptable penalty. No, when I told him that I knew about the rule, he simply shouted at me and said, that is downright disobedience, boy, and smacked me once around my head so hard that my ears rang. I remember it to this day. No matter what you think about corporal punishment, I can tell you that it was very effective on this occasion. And a few years later on, in the same school, I became not a potentially delinquent youth, but the head boy of that school. Proverbs 23:13-14. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with a rod and save his soul from death. You're telling me that's politically correct these days? What does it mean? Discipline your children while you still can. I still struggle with obedience, though, especially if I think that I know better. Maybe it's partly because I'm male. Maybe it's because I'm self-opinionated. Maybe it's because I think I'm smarter than you are. Maybe it's because I struggle with agreeing that if someone else is right, that subsequently makes me wrong. Whatever it is, I'm working at it. I'm working through it. And so far, it's taken 66 years. Work in progress. Proverbs 22:6. Train or start a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. That doesn't necessarily mean to say that he won't turn from it in the interim time of growing up. But there's something about when he's old, he'll remember. Maybe some of us had a bad start in life, but hopefully there's still time for God to sort things out in our lives. The problem is, we may well be children of God, you might say, but we're also children of Adam and Eve. And they had the very same problem, didn't they? Problem with obedience. In fact, I think that's where we got it from. Genesis 2:15-17, we've heard it a few times, but watch this. The Lord God took the man, Adam, he took the man, and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. This rule, this school rule, this garden rule, was given to Adam when he was alone with God. But when Adam met Eve, things became more complicated. Would they together be obedient? It's not a big ask, is it? I mean, there's only one rule: to obey God. But did, you might ask yourself, did Adam tell Eve exactly what God had told him or not? Did Eve hear it differently? Who really knows? Sometimes I communicate with my wife and children and they hear something that I don't recognize that I said. Who knows? However, like me, they obviously thought they ultimately would get away with it. Perhaps God wouldn't see, and therefore were easily conned out of their paradise garden by a con man who didn't love them or have good intentions for them, who wouldn't discipline them. They listened to the con man who hated them ultimately and was probably jealous of them and their relationship with God. This historic outcome is still typical of men and women today. Even it seems in the church, people are caught out after what looks like years and years of faithful service. But did they think that they would escape the eyes of God? The truth will out. You've heard it on the news. Years and years of child abuse and things like that, extortion. But with the appearance of an angel of light, God laid down some pretty hefty rules ultimately, didn't he? I would rather have had the one in the Garden of Eden personally, but now there's lots. Many people believe the Bible is full of rules and that God is out to stop us having fun and will smack us hard if we break the rules. A real spoil sport. Here's some of them. some of the rules that weren't in the Garden of Eden, but subsequently became very necessary because of the children of Adam and Eve. Exodus 21-17, we don't talk about this very often, but it's there. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or your maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. So have you been obedient to God's commandments or not? Do you think you'll get away with it? Like my deputy head who saw me throwing sticks into a conker tree, God sees everything. But you might be thinking, yeah, but we've got Jesus now, haven't we? He's much nicer, much more lenient and forgiving. He's our friend, isn't he? God of love and forgiveness. He'll let us off, won't he? Matthew 5:27-28. Let's hear what Jesus says. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. I dare say the same thing works for the other way around with women and men. Fair's fair, after all. Matthew 5:38-39. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, from Exodus 21:24, Leviticus 24:20, and Deuteronomy 19:21. But Jesus says, I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. I didn't do that with the deputy head, by the way. Matthew 7:1-2, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. Be careful how you judge people. Jesus did many things for us. He even simplified a whole raft of commandments, didn't he, when he was asked, in Matthew 22:36-40, he was asked, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That's from Deuteronomy 6:5. This, says Jesus, is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So, maybe we're obedient to those two commandments, are we? If we're honest, and God demands honesty from us, we have to admit that we have failed both those commandments too. Why? Because what we want to do is often at odds with what God wants us to do. So something has to give, doesn't it? Something always gives, and it invariably shows up as a form of unbelief and, sadly, disobedience. Paul has something to say about this as well. In Romans 13, 9 to 10, Paul talks about the commandments and he says, the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbour as yourself. And then he says, love does no harm to its neighbour. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love does no harm to its neighbour. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. None of us here has nor ever will fulfill the requirements of the law. In fact, some of us find it very difficult to love ourselves, never mind our neighbours. And some of us even secretly despise members even of our own families. Never mind political leaders and governments and presidents. We just can't do it. No matter how good our intentions are, and no matter how hard we try, we consistently fail. Just in the same way as the Ten Commandments prove that we need forgiveness and we need a Saviour. Someone who understands our weaknesses and can do it for us in our place. 1 John 4, 7 to 8. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. However, there's more. If you've never confessed your sins and given your heart to Jesus, nothing is going to change you. You need, and we've heard it time and time again, you need to be born again. And you can't do that either. To be born again, you need to be born of God. He is the one that can do it. But only if you can come to Him recognizing that Jesus took the punishment that was due to you on Himself. He did that despite our disobedience, because He was obedient. Romans 6, 20 to 23. Paul says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? What good did it do? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, when you join two statements from 1 John 4 and Romans 13 together, you get this. These are the two statements. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. together with love does no harm to its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Right? Love, let me try and make this clearer. Love fulfills the law. God is love, therefore Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, fulfilled the requirements of the law through love when we were unable to. When Jesus gave everything on the cross and shouted out, "It is finished," he paid everything that we could not. He was obedient unto his Father, he loved to the bitter end, and he paid for our many sins, our inability to obey, our disobedience, our lack of love, our innate sinful nature and bad attitude towards God. So all these things, all our disobedience, all covered. And all he wants to do really is to change our hearts and help us to become the obedient sons and daughters that he hopes for. And it's a long ride. Like I said, 66 years so far, still getting it wrong, but I'm not as bad as I was. One day, in the twinkling of an eye, if you don't belong to the Lord, you'll never see me in perfection. But if you do, you'll be stunned. Not a naughty boy anymore. Final scripture, Philippians 2:5-11. This is what our attitude should be. Get the right attitude. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you remember that one of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not make anything on the earth, in the heaven, under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down, worship them. And yet, this is Jesus. Every knee should bow, in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Aren't you glad that he was obedient? Father, we thank you that you were obedient and you did it while we were still sinners, Lord, and we still sin. Even though, Lord, when you look at us, Father, you see the blood of your Son. And just like my dad forgave me because he understood that I knew that I'd done wrong, we have to be the same, because there was nothing I could do to put the things I did wrong right. All I was offered was punishment. But Lord, you can put everything right. You can give us a fresh start. We can be born again and inherit, Lord, the whole estate, the whole kingdom, heirs to the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.